Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie, your host, coming to you from St. Benedict's Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. My email address is bam@Catholicism.org. I can also be found easily on Twitter @Brother_Andre and on Facebook. Our topic this evening is Catholic Scouting. And my guest for the second segment is going to be Mr. Christopher Hassan, the president and group leader for the first Federation of North American Explorers group in the United States. First, here on the Veritas Radio Network, radio as it should be, I'm going to give an introduction to the Federation of North American Explorers by talking about, in general, about scouting, but in specific, on how it is that I came and we here at St. Benedict Center came to discover the Federation of North American Explorers, the group that Mr. Hassan, our guest, is involved with. In May of 2013, you may remember that there was a decision made on the part of the Boy Scouts of America, and it was a decision that was agitated for. It was in the offing for a while. Some radicals, some activists, got the BSA to change their policy to allow "quote unquote" homosexual youth to enter into the Boy Scouts of America. Now, they at the time said they weren't going to allow adult leaders in either. That later changed. I'm going to read you something, just a couple of paragraphs from something that I wrote at the time. I wrote a piece called, and it's linked from the Reconquest.net show details page for this show, which is episode number 18, I think. But some people are asking themselves, what's the big deal? The new policy, they point out, does not say that the BSA will allow open homosexuality in the troops, and potentially predatory adult leaders are excluded by the compromise that admitted homosexual youth while excluding them as adult leaders. Three points need to be made concerning this naivete. First, the time it took for the U.S. Armed Forces to go from don't ask, don't tell, to the present aggressively proactive homosexualist policy will seem long compared to the time it takes the BSA to change their policy on homosexuals as adult leaders. Now, by the way, I wrote this in May of 2013, and I don't claim to be a prophet and I don't claim to be brilliant, but it took from don't ask, don't tell to the present proactively pro-homosexual military policy in the U.S. Armed Forces, it took 17 years. It took two for the BSA to go from guaranteeing that there would be no adult leader homosexuals in, but just homosexual youth, to being now homosexual adult leaders are allowed. And of course, the adjutants aren't happy with that because the present policy in BSA is homosexual leaders are allowed only in those groups which want them, but they're not imposed upon groups that don't want them. In other words, so-called faith-based groups and other groups that don't want LGBTQ, LMNOP type adult leaders can exclude them. But the activists have already said they're not happy with that policy. So I think this movement is heading a pace, and pretty soon BSA will become an openly homosexual recruiting organization. And I don't think that any of the so-called safeguards that are built in the system are going to work. So going right along. So now you know, I was right in this prediction. And I was right in this prediction, again, not because I'm a prophet or brilliant, but because it was like shooting fish in a barrel. Anybody that's associated with or knowledgeable of or just awake and observes what homosexual activists do can see that their movement is spreading far and wide, and it's especially attacking discipline institutions like the armed forces, the police, and of course scouting. And what better organism for them to infect than a youth group which is designed to form youth leaders? So, continuing on with what I wrote, the coercive thuggery of homosexual activists in government, in the press, and in the workplace has picked up pace since then. They will take every victory they can get, but will not stop there. That's just the way it works, folks. Secondly, there is so much wrong with the idea of even identifying youth as homosexual. By the way, we're talking about a boy who is 11 years old or one who has completed the fifth grade or earned the Arrow of Light Award and is at least 10 years old, but is not yet 18 years old. So we're talking about boys between 10 or 11 and 18. Identifying them as homosexual is cruel. They shouldn't be allowed to identify themselves as homosexual, even if they have some sort of unnatural inclinations. They should be gently and charitably steered away from that. But to label them at that age is awful. To stick an ID card on them at that age and is to encourage them in unnatural and immoral acts. And of course, predators and activists seize on this kind of things as they try to homosexualize children and teens. Third, the sense of moral outrage that this vice ought to engender should not be lost. The fact that it is almost totally lost is the result of a concerted effort over the years. If we are to remain true to the Catholic truth, goodness, and beauty of our faith, we must maintain a serious sense of the depravity of unnatural vice. This is not to say that we're to be uncharitable to people who engage in that vice, but it is to say that we should have a sense of moral outrage against those who perpetrate the vice and who seek to force their way into our institutions. We must rally to the standard and not concede to the big lie that this is a civil rights issue. This is not a civil rights issue. It is not at all a civil rights issue. It is a moral issue. It is an issue of depravity, especially the debauching of our youth. You're listening to Brother Andre Marie on Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network, and we're talking about Catholic scouting. So because of the change that the Boy Scouts of America did in May of 2013, we saw the handwriting on the wall. We saw that we here at St. Benedict Center, who had a scouting organization, we had a BSA troop that we sponsored here with our Catholic youth. The boys only had a Boy Scouts group. There was nothing equivalent for girls at that time. We saw that we had to pull out of the BSA, and we did, and we looked for alternative organizations. So I went online. I kind of advertised the fact that we were looking for such an organization, and I combed around, and I came across the website of an organization called the Federation of North American Explorers. And when we heard about them, I learned that at this traditional chapel in New Jersey, where people worship in the traditional Latin Mass, they had started a group, sort of an umbrella group of different smaller troops affiliated with the FNE, the Federation of North American Explorers, which is a group that started in Canada, but it is only the Canadian or North American embodiment of an older European organization called the Federation of Scouts of Europe. It has a longer name, too, a longer acronym that includes guides, and knowing that guides is what the Europeans call the female scouts. They don't call them Girl Scouts. They call them guides. So everyone who's familiar with BSA or any scouting organization at all knows that sort of the grandpa of scouting is Lord Baden-Powell. And you can read all about Lord Baden-Powell in all sorts of places on the internet. But in 1907 or 08, he got scouting off the ground. And he had been a hero in the Second Boer War in South Africa. He was a lieutenant general in the British armed forces, and he was experienced with youth And the Native African youth and the help that they could offer as scouts working for the military in this one particular siege of a railroad town that the British had built in South Africa. And he was impressed with what youth could do when they were pushed. And when they were, I mean, I don't mean pushed, obviously, in an unreasonable way, but when they are encouraged, when they are given leadership, when they're shown what to do, he was impressed with what the youth were capable of doing. And he decided that when he got back to the UK, that he would start an organization which would try to train young men, not to be junior league soldiers, not so that they could go and join the British Armed Forces, but so that they could be soldiers of peace, I think was the term that he used. He wanted people who were going to do good deeds. He wanted people who were to be good moral leaders in society. Now, Baden-Powell was himself an Anglican, and he saw that scouting was Christianity in action. I think that might be an exact quote from him. It was something to that effect, that it was basically the gospel in action. And when he drew up his plans for scouting, he consulted Catholics. He consulted Benedictine monks. He consulted at least one bishop and got them to sort of sign off on what it was that he was designing because he wanted Catholic involvement early on. Now, one thing you should know about scouting and Baden-Powell's approach is that he was friends with Rudyard Kipling, the literary man who wrote the Jungle Books. There's more than one Jungle Book, known collectively as the Jungle Books. And Jungle Book lore comes in big time into the nomenclature and the sort of the culture of scouting as it was developed by Lord Baden-Powell. So we hear about, in that book, we read about Mowgli learning the law of the jungle. And the law of the jungle, far from being this law of chaos and anarchy like law of the jungle has come to mean, actually meant the exact opposite in Rudyard Kipling's worldview. It actually meant a real law, a code of honor by which all the different animals of the jungle live. And the bad guys in this book, in the Jungle Books, are the Bandar-log, the monkey people, who have no law. And my favorite part in the Jungle Book is the chapter called Ka's Hunting, where Ka, the snake, ends up, it's kind of gross, actually. He ends up eating a lot of the monkey people because they're being very difficult. They've kidnapped Mowgli. And the little speech that Mowgli gets about how evil the Bandar-log are is very, very illuminating. The worst thing about the Bandar-log, the monkey people, is that they have no law. They're very chaotic people. And I wrote a piece, by the way, on this on our website called Simian Antinomianism. Antinomianism is basically being against law. It's a sort of moral chaos. And Simian, of course, being of or pretending to a monkey or an ape. And the point of the piece was to show how lawlessness is something that Kipling is going after in this section of the Jungle Book. And what Baden, this is important to Baden-Powell because he wanted to impart to young people a law. Now, this is a very, very, very Christian idea. The gospel is a law. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the gospel is the new law. The Old Testament is the old law, the Mosaic law. So the concept of law, we're not antinomians. We're not against law. The concept of law is very important for Catholics. Antinomianism, by the way, was a Protestant movement in the time of the Reformation, and they were saying that Christians were absolved from the law. And no, we're not. We're not absolved from the moral law, not at all. We're absolved from the Mosaic law, which our Lord put to an end, but we are not absolved from the moral law. So the concept of giving youth a law is very, very important. All right, so now we can introduce another person. And that is Father Jacques Savin, S.J. He was a Jesuit. He's a venerable. And you can read about him on a number of different websites. But basically, Father Savin was a Jesuit who lived from 1882 to 1951. And he met Lord Baden-Powell. He was a Frenchman who spent a lot of time also in Belgium. But in his youth, he spent time in England. And as a young Jesuit, he spent time in England. And there was a bit of a controversy in France in his in his days, before he was even ordained, when he was a young Jesuit scholastic, he was familiar with the controversy in the French Church. They were against scouting. They were saying this is a Protestant movement, this is not a Catholic movement, this is endangering our Catholic youth. Father Savant was sent to England to investigate it, and he did, and he met Baden-Powell. The two were favorably impressed with each other. And long story short, Father Savant ends up not only writing up glowing praises of scouting, but he ends up founding scouting in France, and he saw that it was a way to form Catholic youth. Some of the criticisms that were levied against him was that in training young adults to be scout leaders, he was actually steering people away from religious vocations as priests or nuns or brothers or whatever. And the history actually proved to the contrary, because it became a bit of a recruiting place for vocations, even though that's not what scouting's for. It ended up doing that. Why? Because he was forming good Catholics. And when you form good Catholic youth, it's going to encourage vocations to the priesthood, to the religious life, as well as to virtuous married life and even single life in the world. Father Savant was very influenced by his founder, obviously St. Ignatius of Loyola, the great soldier saint. He was also influenced by St. Teresa of Avila and St. Therese of Lisieux. He wrote Meditations on the Gospel for scouts, and he would read these to his scouts and form them as good Catholic youth using scouting as a tool. He ended up becoming a religious founder and founding the Sisters of the Holy Cross. His last words to them were, "Be saints, that is all that matters." So that's a very impressive spirit of this great Jesuit. He is a venerable, and he was declared so on May 10th of 2012 by Pope Benedict XVI. So now we may refer to him as Venerable Jacques Savant. And of course, that essentially opened his cause for beatification, or approved the tract for beatification. I guess now all they need is a miracle. And you can read about him in a number of places online. The Stella Maris FNE group down in Miami, Florida has a good little short biography of him, which I was actually going to read, but I didn't leave myself enough time in this first segment to do so. Lord Baden-Powell gave Father Savant the highest award that an adult leader can get in scouting, the Silver Fox Award. And Father Savant was honored and decorated himself. And it was said, I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was said of him, by the way, he is called the father of Catholic scouting. I do have the quote in front of me. Lord Baden-Powell, said of Father Savant, "He made the best realization of my own thoughts." So he thought that Father Savant did in France for Catholic scouting he followed the perfect model. He exactly replicated in France what it was that Lord Baden-Powell himself wanted to do in forming scouting in the first place. So this is a very impressive man, and his work continues to this day with different scouting groups in Europe, not just in France, but elsewhere in Europe. And his work continues also here in North America with the Federation of North American Explorers. Before I go to break, I would like to read it's very short, two things, the Explorer Promise and the Explorer Law. Those of you with a scouting background will recognize this. It's basically what you would have known as a member of the BSA or some similar organization, only it's been baptized. Here's the Explorer Promise. "On my honor and with God's grace, I promise to do my best to serve God, the Church, and my country, to help others at all times, and to obey the Explorer Law." So notice it includes God's grace as well as my honor. So it's not Pelagian. It introduces grace. Second is the Explorer Law. Now, there are 10 parts of the Explorer Law, 10 little statements. An explorer's honor is to be trusted. An explorer is loyal to his country, leaders, parents, and subordinates. An explorer is made to serve and save his neighbor. An explorer is a friend to all and a brother to every other explorer. An explorer is courteous and chivalrous. That's my favorite. An explorer sees in nature God's creations. He loves plants and animals. An explorer obeys proper orders and leaves nothing half finished. An explorer controls himself. He smiles and sings under all difficulties. An explorer is thrifty. He takes care of his own possessions and those of others. An explorer is clean in thought, word, and deed. This is Brother Andre Marie. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. We're talking about Catholic scouting. Stick around after the break, and you will hear me interviewing my guest, Mr. Christopher Hassan. God bless.
You're listening to Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it. Exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.